Good evening. This is Rabbi Mayefsky. This week we deal with Parshas Korach. We see we've now had a few Parshas in a row, and it will continue. Bahaloska, with the Sonanim last week, with the Meraglim, and that has sealed their fate in terms of the people over 20 being relegated to living out their lives in the Midbar, which was unfortunate for them. And now Korach feels it's the proper time to strike. Since everybody is in a dejected mood, certainly, they've been now in the Midbar for a better part, more than a year, and now they're thinking they're getting ready to go into the land, as they've been told, and suddenly the roof caves in, the bottom falls out, and they're told that they're going to perish in the desert. And unfortunately, God is trying to instill a little more confidence in the next generation by giving them mitzvos, as we saw last week, something that'll happen for them in the next generation. But the truth is, let's think about it. If we think in terms of the children, how are they going to be brought up at this point in time when their parents are living a dejected life? Are they going to pass on that attitude to the new generation? Or is the new generation going to learn a lesson from the mistakes of their parents and not be influenced by the dejected state that their parents have, certainly that they've been told that they will live out possibly 20 years, 30 years, even up to 40 years in the Midbar? How will that affect the next generation? And that's why what I entitled tonight's share is, are you a giver or are you a taker? And the reason for that is really a very simple one. Korach steps forward now. He feels that the time is right to strike. People have been told they will not leave the Midbar. And now, on top of everything, Korach is of the opinion that Moshe has taken too much on his plate. Moshe has now appointed Aaron. He feels that possibly that this was his own decision, that this came from Moshe, and he's giving his brother the next cushy job and taking the Kohen Gadol. The problem with Korach is a very basic one, and he thinks that Aaron is taking all of these gedula, he's taking the power from the job that he would want. But the reality is, God is telling the Bnei Levi, Al kein lo haya lelevi chelek v'nachalo imecho v'ashem hu nachalo so, that Korach, you're a rich man. Do you want to stay rich? Do you want to live like a king? Or do you want to be of service to Klal Yisrael? The Levim get no stake in the land. They're going in, and Korach fails to understand that the need to be a public leader comes with many responsibilities. So the question is asked, and this plays into the whole idea. Moshe Rabbeinu, up to this point in time, has always stood by Klal Yisrael, and every time they take a misstep, as we see with the Meraglim, before that, all the times that they've had now, he tries to push God's buttons. Moshe tries to implore HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive Bnei Yisrael. And God said last week, V'chol manatzai lo yiruah, anybody that aggravates me is not going to see the land. So, Vayomer Hashem Solachti, I told you last week, I forgave them. How many times that they do I forgive them? Vayanasu osiz ze'esef amim. And Moshe Rabbeinu is always stepping forward and trying to get Klal Yisrael off the hook. And now suddenly, when Korach takes this upon himself, is it because he's trying to usurp Moshe's authority? Or does Moshe understand that he's calling into question God? What is behind Korach's impassioned plea and disagreement with Moshe and Aaron? What is this all about? Well, Korach felt that his father was next in line after Amram the Yitzhar, that Yitzhar deserved the next cushy job, so to speak. And that's what Korach is. We see that in a lot of politicians. Politicians get elected because they feel that somehow living off the public becomes a cushy job and it entails a lot of power, gives them a lot of honor, and this is what they want. But God is trying to, Moshe is trying to, you know, to tell B'nai Israel that it's not what it seems. The job of the Levium in the Midbar is to carry the Aron, to carry and do service for all the people. And this is the problem. And therefore, Moshe knows at this juncture, he has to get rid of Korach totally. The Imbriyah Yivro Hashem Ufasisoh Adamah Espiyah. Moshe says that if you just kill them off like you did the Meraglim, the immediate Meraglim, or you kill these 250 people, it will simply appear as if they died because of the Chet HaMeraglim, and could be that in actuality Korach was, he had a point, and that Aaron didn't deserve the Kuna Gedola, and therefore he says, to he implores HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, if they die a normal death that you had promised them at this point in time because they would die in the Midbar, there is another factor at stake, and they won't understand that the Aaron is supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, we have to create something new. They have to be taken away, and taken away to Chaim Sheola, when it says we are do Chaim Sheola of Tivtach Oretz Es Pia Vativlao Somvi Es Botehem V'Eis Kol HaYekum Asher LeKorach, and all of this, their entire possession, because we have to show there is no place amongst Kal Yisrael if it's going to be all for one and one for all. There is no place for anybody who is not willing to take one for the team. Korach was a taker. The parsha begins very simply, Vayikach Korach, Ben Yitzhak, Ben Kahos, Ben Levi, Dasam Vaviron. And it doesn't say anything, it doesn't spell out in any way, shape, or form what they took. It doesn't tell us that they took anything in particular. Did they rob a bank? No, of course not. It just says that they took. And the purpose is Korach and Dasam Vaviron. Dasam Vaviram were merely trying to stir up trouble. Korach had his agenda because he simply wanted power, but he didn't understand the purpose of his power. And that is what God is saying, and what gives Moshe the insight into what he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is his claim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's speaking up for himself and he says something that seems to make no sense on the surface. He says, Lo chamor echod mehem nasasi velo harayosi asachad mehem. I never even took, I was entitled to free transportation. I was entitled to ride on Air Force One. I was entitled to have the presidential limousine ferry me around in the Midbar. Certainly, I am up to that. But no, I rather understood that my job is for the people, and I rode on my own donkey at my own expense. I fed my animal of my own expense. I took care of him. I did everything on my own. And what he's trying to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, spell it out, this is in case God had any inkling that Korach might have a point. He's saying that Korach, Vayikach Korach, God understands that Korach is just a taker. He takes Rora. He thinks that he could get away with it. He thinks that being, if he took the job as Kohen Gadol, that he would be entitled. He would have entitlements. He could retire early, so to speak. He could have all of these things that our public leaders feel that they're entitled to. But the reality is, this is the amazing part of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. They did not live off society. They paid their own way. And that is why God is trying to instill in the Levium and the Kohanim, and not only that, why the parsha continues with on all about the laws of Trumas and Maaseres, because he wants even to say that not only are you not going to be on easy street, and while everybody is responsible to support you with their Maisa, but even you as a Levi has to give Trumas Maisa. Even you have to give a tenth of what you make from the people to the Kohen. You are responsible to pay and make good. Even a Levi doesn't get a free ride. Our politicians today believe they're on the public dole, and we see that they don't work 24/7. They have all these vacation. Congress is in session. The Senate is in session. It's not on session. They take long vacations. In Klal Yisrael, if you want to be a leader, if you want to be in charge and you want to have that honor, if you think you're deserving of that honor, know full well that there's only one way to achieve that, and that is to make the sacrifice of sacrificing your family life, sacrificing that you're not going to be home, not going to be do anything on your own without the help of the community, because your first job is to take care of your citizens, that you will live in the Orei Miklot and you will service all the people who have to go there. You don't get to see, fly around the world and experience things. You have to be stay at home and do the job and do the bidding of all the citizens in your care. And this is what Korach was all about. Vayikach Korach, the Torah spells it out in the first couple of words in the pasuk. Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kohos ben Levi. And this is, unfortunately, you would think, and the now usually what we say is that the Torah gives us the names of the people where they got it from. In other words, usually we are told that when we're giving the Yichus, it stops where we don't want to go any further. In other words, we say we didn't learn it. Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kohos, Ben Levi, is that where they learned everything from? And they are merely a child, a great-grandson of Levi and all of these other great people who preceded them. It's telling us you wouldn't believe it. Because Levi was a giver, Yitzhar certainly was a giver, the Kohos was obviously, in God's eyes, a giver. And Korach, you wouldn't think, but these things rear their ugly head sometimes, and we have to nip it in the bud. And this is why we are do Chayim She'ola. What is the experience of She'ol? It's not to be anywhere. When we go to Nishtugadak, when we go to a cemetery and we say a tefillah, we are having a conversation with the dead. But if there is no body, if there is nothing, no place where we could go, we are left in limbo. There's nobody to talk to. There is no relationship. They haven't been up or down. There's some place, as we like to call it, the phantom zone. Chayim She'ola is where they are totally disassociated with anything at all in Klal Yisrael. They are a non-entity, and they remain that way forever, because that is somebody who wants to be a leader. You have to be a giver. Moshe was the ultimate giver. Aaron gave all. He was a Rodev Shalom, Oev Shalom, and a Rodev Shalom. And the Levium, that is what God wants to leave behind. But he also must deal with the fact that the survivors at this point are left with a very unhappy life, because of all their parents that have brought them into this world, they can't be nurtured by people who are in a very sorry state of mind. How are they going to grow up? And that's why Moshe has to tread very carefully. And that's why when we get to next week's parsha, when Moshe hits the rock and God says, Lo mayan, lo hemantem bi lahagdi sheni, this is, God is telling him, I needed something extra special to take them out of their doldrums. and we ruined the opportunity. This is just more of the same thing. They're all aware of the story of hitting the rock, and all we got now is another case of hitting the rock. Nothing new. These are people who needed something new. They are being brought up for the next 38, 39 years by parents who are dejected, who will die in their midbar. The attitude of their children is certainly one that comes from their parents. People who grow up in an unhappy household are less likely to smile and think of other people before themselves. And that is God, and Moshe is their great lesson, is to prepare Klal Yisrael, the next generation who's over 20 that will go into the land. They have to be able to put all of these sorry stories behind them. No easy task. This will be a difficult scenario for Moshe to overcome. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned how they live out the next few years so that the B'nai Yisrael, the new generation who will survive and conquer the land, are of the right frame of mind, the right capabilities to live the way the Torah wants them to be part of a community, to always be a giver and not a Korach, a taker. Have a good evening. Thank you very much.